The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And thanks for joining us again here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. It's a fantastic Friday on the eve of Michigan and Michigan State playing football. We're at all various locations. Most of us are at home and sitting in our living rooms, our basements, and whatever, and broadcasting live streams through Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. But naturally, of course, we're on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, and I got a couple of great guests from my golden era of enjoying things as a fan before I started working professionally in this. First of all, I got the voice of Michigan football for decades, Jim Brandstatter, currently the play-by-play voice, former color commentator, hosted Michigan Replay back in the days of CTC Sports and Bob Lipson. Second time his name has now been mentioned in the last couple of hours. He's a member of the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame and the Broadcasters Hall of Fame. He's also a best-selling author, and most everyone knows him as playing for Bo's first team in 1969, playing through 1972. Number 76, great to have you on a fantastic Friday.
Thanks very much, Steve. It's number 76 in your program, number one in your heart, number two on the depth chart.
And then a guy who was always, you know, fighting for space in a talented backfield at Michigan is the 1989 MVP of the Rose Bowl, Reloy Hoard. Got the decisive fourth quarter touchdown after a very long run up the middle. You know, you have to say that Michigan wasn't winning many Rose Bowls and so hoping that Michigan would get that second one. And it wasn't until Leroy Horde's long run in the middle of the fourth quarter, the late fourth quarter, could a Michigan fan start to see it potentially happen. Yet it came to a big down, and Leroy Horde was just able to stretch that football across the goal line, a play that most certainly would have been reviewed for a long time, but no doubt in my mind that would have been a scoring touchdown and won the Rose Bowl in 1989. He's a 10-year vet of the NFL, a dual-threat running back, 51 touchdowns in his NFL career. Now the co-host of Tobin and Leroy, mornings on 790, The Ticket in Miami. Number 33, thanks for joining us here today.
What's happening? I have no doubt that Replay would have did nothing to that play, because I'm going to fight till my last breath, say that Michigan, that Ohio State didn't get that first down and the horseshoe, because yes, he ran into the butt of a lineman. And if the butt wasn't past the first down, how the hell can the quarterback be past the first down?
That JT Barrett play. I agree with you, Leroy.
Yes.
He didn't make the first down, but they were in Ohio Stadium. The referees were intimidated by all those people, and they said, if we don't call this a first down, game's over, Michigan wins. Guess what? We're never getting out of here. So they came.
Oh my goodness.
That's exactly what happened.
I was actually at that game. Right. I have a friend that has a suite there, so I was up in the suites. And when they ran that fourth down, oh my goodness, I acted a fool in that suite, and all of a sudden they said first down. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Well, Dan Dierdorf and I were doing the radio broadcast, and Dierdorf said he didn't get it. And I said, Dan, I don't think he did either, but here's the problem. On replay, the spot of the ball, they're never going to overturn this. They just won't. Because they won't do it. We're in Ohio Stadium. They're never going to overturn this spot. They gave him an extra half a yard.
Oh, yeah.
I said, they're never going to overturn it because they're in Ohio Stadium. And no matter what you say, no matter what I say, guess what? They're going to get a new set of downs. They did. The next two plays later.
Next two plays. Yeah,
it's crazy. I'd like to say one thing, Steve, about Leroy. Well, in all of my years, one of the most versatile backs in Michigan football history, because he was like Stan Edwards. Remember, Stan Edwards actually started as a tailback and then went to fullback in an I formation. Leroy was actually a fullback, kind of a blocking back, who had the ability and the talent to go back and play running back and the moves. And I just think that's really special athletically. And Leroy, you're one of the, in my opinion anyway, most versatile backs Michigan's ever had. And you proved it in the Rose Bowl when you won the MVP.
Well, one of the things people don't understand is when I got to Michigan, all right, we already had Gerald White, Jamie Morris, Thomas Wilcher, Bob Perryman, and I came to Michigan with Jared Bunch, Tony Bowles, Alan Jefferson, Tracy Williams. So all of us were in a meeting room at one time. And what ended up happening was, is Bo said, hey, do you think you? And I said, yes. He said, you don't know what I'm going to say. I said, does it mean I get on the field? Yes. So I ended up being 210 pounds at the time. He told me, Bo had a rule. He said, I could not carry the football unless I weighed 210 pounds. And then he put me at fullback. And so I said, well, I'm on the field. Once you get on the field, eventually they got to give me the football. And I said, I'm going to try to make the best of it. And they started giving me the football a little bit. And then, you know, they say, hey, this guy could play a little bit. How about we give him a couple of more carries? And then Tony Bowles got hurt the following year. And he said, hey, can you do? I said, yep. He said, but you don't even know what I said. I said, don't matter.
But the key is you can play both positions.
Yep.
Gave him great flexibility. So if he wanted to, he could throw Alan Jefferson in there, same backfield with you. And you guys could both get it done.
Right. Because we ran a wishbone.
Exactly.
And so we had three backs. The only guy who was absolutely never going to be in the back is Bunch. Everybody else could move around except Bunch.
Wait till he hears you say that.
Come on, man.
He's out in L.A. right now.
Yes.
He's out in L.A. right now, and he's saying bad things about you.
No. That's my guy right there.
Great player.
I have a couple of calls where Keith Jackson sounded surprised that Bunch got the ball.
Yeah.
Jared Bunch.
Look, hey, he made a big play against Ohio State. Jared did.
Yes, he did.
He was built like Derrick Henry. So don't be fooled. He was strong as an ox. He could run. He wasn't as he wasn't as lateral as the rest of us, but he could play.
You know, Bo used to say Jared didn't have the wiggle like you guys had.
Oh no, we had Coach Burton. We would run a drill, you know, where the coach throw you the football, you tuck it on your arm, you get to the coach, you make a little wiggle.
Uh-huh.
And for 4 years, Bunch ran over Coach Burton.
If you got in Leroy's way, or excuse me, if you got in Jared's way, you were done.
Oh, done.
But if we got Leroy had the ball, he'd run around you. Yeah. Jared didn't have that ability. But, boy, if you got in his way and he had to hit him up, look out.
Yeah.
Special time reminiscing with Leroy Hoare, the 1989 MVP of the Rose Bowl and the voice of Michigan football for decades. Jim Brandstatter here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. Jim, I've heard about a year and a half Josh Gattis talking about speed and space. And last Saturday against Minnesota, I saw a lot of speed and I saw a lot of space. What did you see on that offense?
The same thing, but again, I think you've got to have the speed in order to get it in space. And I'll be honest with you, Donovan Peoples-Jones is a wonderful receiver. So is Nico Collins. And he would have played, and then he'd used him this year. And same thing with Tariq Black. Those are big receivers. But you look at Alabama, they don't really have the big, big receiver. What they got is guys can absolutely fly. And Michigan has that now with their freshman A.J. Henning and Roman Wilson and Giles Jackson. And you get those guys the ball, even in a little bubble screen. They make one guy miss, they go 60. And I think that's what Josh Gattis is kind of looking for. And he's got it. Not that I'm not trying to tell you that Nico and Tariq and Donovan Peoples-Jones, and you saw what Peoples-Jones did last week for Cleveland, catching that touchdown pass that won him the game. But in college football these days, if you're going to run a spread, those guys who are on the perimeter, who are detached, if they've got speed and can make one guy miss with so many man-to-man defenses out there, boy, speed and space is a good way to go.
Absolutely. And you know, the last few years, people have questioned the quarterback play. And the one way to help it is give them more room to throw it.
Amen, brother.
The last big receiver that I can think of that Alabama had was Julio Jones.
That was it. And,
but he was just as fast as those little guys, you know. But for the most part, when you think of the big receivers that have come through Michigan, they were like possession guys who are going to go up and get it. That works great in the NFL because you got a lot of one-on-one matchups. But in college, it's all about speed and separation, and the quarterback needs to see you open to throw it. There's not as much anticipation in college, and so that's why this is going to help a lot.
Joe Milton, I think everybody was looking at him to see what he was going to do. Basically played in mop-up duties again, games against Wisconsin and Ohio State the past couple of years. Jim Leroy, I saw a guy who was as cool as a cucumber in the backfield, had a lot of poise, may have run into that sack early on, but really as an overall impression, and even into the post-game press conference, Jim, he looked like a guy that expected to score 49 points, expected that they were only going to attempt to punt once. He just looked like afterwards, it's just like, yeah, this is how I expected it to be.
You know, I had a friend call me after the game that week, and he said something that I thought was really, really good, and I didn't even think about it, but he said, you know, that guy didn't look like he was making his first start. And that's exactly what he looked like. He looked like a guy that had been there before. And Leroy knows this, having been a player. Even in the NFL, you got a rookie quarterback or a young guy, you want him to walk into the huddle like, I've been here before. I know what to do. Right. And Joe exactly was that way. And the other thing I liked, he didn't try to do too much. He distributed the ball. He knows he's going to have to make plays. Down the road, he'll have to make a play or two. He knows that. But he also is mature enough to know that I got so many playmakers around me. I get the ball to those guys. Let those guys have their fun and do their thing. And when it comes down to when I need to do it, I can do mine too. But in the meantime, keep everybody happy. I really think Joe is a mature young man, very bright, understands the offense beautifully, the way Josh Gattis set it up for him. And, boy, I think this guy's physically, he's unbelievable. Physically, back in the day, Leroy, when you played, he'd be a tight end. But he is unbelievably physical, but he's got great mind. He understands the offense. Athletically, he's off the charts. This could be that guy, you know, that Jim's been looking for.
It's nice to see. I like the way he handled himself from this aspect. For so many years, when a quarterback or a new quarterback has come out, people have said, this has to be the guy. And sometimes during the course of that year, they've pressed. They've pressed to the point where it didn't come across as success, but it was going the other way, and they struggled. I like the fact that the way he's handled himself up to this point is that, you know, look, I don't have the weight of this team on me. We're a team, and we have talent all over this team, and it's going to take all of us to win. Now, that changes as the competition picks up, as the circumstances pick up. But you got to start somewhere. And so far, so good. We'll see when you start playing games that are a little bit tight. We'll start where every first down matters, where you instead of missing three passes to win this game, you can only miss one during a drive. And so as the pressure picks up, we'll see, you know, how this translates into a real pressure cooker situation. But so far, so good.
Yeah, I would say from Leroy's perspective, the key term is don't let expectations ruin your ability to play.
Well, look, how do you think I feel down here? That Tua's getting ready to make his first start.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my goodness.
They got to think. Here comes Dan Marino, your reincarnate, right?
Yes.
Fitzpatrick is playing the best football in his career, and he's being benched. And
there was a plan, though. If the plan was to start Tua after the bye week, what happened was when Tennessee's team got the COVID and they had to readjust the schedule, the bye week got pushed up 3 weeks. So now you have to make the decision. Do you still start him after the bye week as planned, or – if you wait it out, he may not get any playing time this year. Now, the thing that sucks is when you're in a race where you could legitimately win the division, then all of the micro issues become immediate. You know, everything is now. But if you look at the big picture and what they want for the future, then the decision was pretty much already made.
Time is flying fast here on Fantastic Friday here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK. I've got less than 10 minutes left with both Leroy Horde and Jim Brandstetter. We've talked about the quarterback. We've talked about Minnesota. I'm going to transition slowly into Michigan State, guys. But, you know, Jim, I got to ask you about the offensive line. We know Ed Wardner's reputation as an offensive line coach, no matter where he's been. But this was stunning to me to have four new starters come into that offensive line and be able to do what they did. And with the offensive line, as well as with the quarterback, there were no facepalm moments. The ones that just make you drive your head into the palm of your face going, what were they thinking? Or this was so ugly. We didn't see that against Minnesota. We saw plenty of it in watching the Michigan State Rutgers game, but nothing against Michigan. And I think the offensive line, you know, which is near and dear to your heart, had a lot to do with it.
Well, the fact that they have not started is one thing, but the fact that they're experienced guys and been around the program for 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. that helps them. Ryan Hayes, remember, he started a couple of games at left tackle when John Runyon was out. Jalen Mayfield being back was huge. Vestardis is a leader. He's been up and down along the line of scrimmage. Stuber was in competition with Mayfield a year ago, so, and Mayfield's good. So you know that Stuber's good. So they're talented. The key, though, we talked about the two question marks about Michigan's offense. Joe Milton, we've talked about that. The offensive line, they performed beautifully. And the best part about it, in my opinion anyway, is in the past, we've seen negative plays. We've seen second and 13s, third and 12s. It's really hard when you're in that kind of a situation for an offense. And Michigan didn't have that against Minnesota. Now, the competition's going to pick up, and they're going to have to get better. But from a first look against a top 25 team, this offensive line, I think, surpassed expectations. I was really, really pleased.
A lot of this can be attributed to the quarterback.
Yeah.
How he handles himself in the huddle, his kind of calm demeanor. Everybody else is calm. We got a job to do. Let's go get this done. There's not a whole bunch of excitement, you know, when they're on the field. Everybody's doing their job. And sometimes the leader of that unit kind of oozes that temperament and it runs throughout the team. So maybe what you're seeing is you see the quarterback and you say how poised he is. You look at the rest of those guys, regardless of how long or how much they've played, they all play with poise.
And one last little thing I'll tell you. Leroy knows this too. If you're a position group, like the offensive line, and people preseason say, we're not sure they're going to be any good, can they do this? There's a little chip that grows on your shoulder. Mm-hmm. And when you get out there, you want to say, as a group, five strong, an offensive line has to play five as one. They look at each other and go, we're not going to be the problem, period.
Absolutely. They're like, well, challenge accepted.
Exactly.
Speaking of chip on the shoulder, I don't think anybody has had a bigger size than the party size chips that the Michigan State Spartans have been wearing on their shoulders for more than a decade. Jim, I know you saw the game already. Leroy, I don't know if you have between Michigan State Rutgers. I thought Michigan State was playing with a football made of Crisco. And I also think Greg Schiano's defense taught these guys to strip sack quite a bit. And they also taught the wrap and rip technique where one guy wraps and the other guy.
Yeah, he. You there, Steve? I see. Steve froze up there for a minute.
Yep.
See him, Leroy?
I see him.
There you go. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to get to my question because we only have 5 minutes remaining in this segment. Jeff Cohen, remind me that you make your most improvements from week one to week two. I got to imagine the Spartans can't go anywhere but up from watching that performance at Rutgers.
Michigan's not going to see the same team that Rutgers played, Michigan State played Rutgers. You know, Shiano, you mentioned him. The other thing he does, that I did NFL games for 31 years, and Leroy knows this, he teaches some NFL defense where second man in on a tackle attacks the ball.
Yep, that's a standard thing.
And in college, sometimes that's not necessarily true. So he obviously has that going for him. And so the other thing he gave him is he gave him that look up front where he tilted that nose guard, and Michigan State couldn't adjust their guard-center combination to block it. He was in their backfield all day. But Michigan State's got talent. I mean, they got some skill-wide. Their running backs, I mean, they return the second – or the – leading, they return the best rusher in the Big Ten from a year ago. So it's not like they don't have any talent, but you can't turn it over seven times. they're a decent football team. Michigan, I think, if they play their game and improve, I think they win, hands down. But Michigan State will play a better game, so Michigan has to be ready. And let's face it, it's Michigan, Michigan State. So don't start counting anybody, you know, off your schedule until the clock reads zero and you got more score than they do.
I mean, this is a hectic time. You know, football, every sport has had to deal with unique circumstances. And all teams handle them differently. So some teams start off really slow. Some teams hit the season running. And so I don't put anything past the Spartans. I don't look at last week. I say, hey, it was the first game. I'm not going to hold that against them. But I will say this. Take it from me, a person who has been – who fumbled the ball every now and then.
No.
if you show that on film,
oh yeah,
you best believe for the rest of your life they're going to snatch at the football. So it's not our problem that they turn the ball over a lot and they're going to have to deal with it this week too. Because guess what? All the Michigan coaches are going to say, look, hey, second guy, go get the football. They're going to deal with it. So go get you some turnovers.
Not to disparage a former Buckeye, but I will. Zeke Elliott's got that problem in Dallas. Everybody knows he's a fumbling machine right now, and it's just making matters worse every time he touches it.
Leroy, I'll tell you, if you're in the league and you've got that reputation, it follows you every game you play, every snap you take, every time you touch it.
And the worst thing is, the harder you try to hold it, the more you're inclined to fumble. And so I remember having a conversation with Bill Belichick. And he said, son, you can't play if you fumble a ball. And so the next couple of games, I was running to protect the ball. And he says, that ain't going to help us either. Just go back to doing what you do and just be careful. Because, you know, you just have to play a certain way. And now, you know, I'll tell you this, is that sometimes turnovers are just unfortunate. I saw Zeke get the ball kicked out of his arms by his lineman. Right, I had a fumble at Michigan where a bunch turned around to look at me and punched the ball out of my arms. I'm like, so like sometimes, it's unfortunate. You have to do, if you're doing everything you can to protect the football, you just got to live with it. But if you're known as they turn the ball over seven times, they're going into the game thinking we got to protect the football, and Michigan's going into the game thinking we got to get it.
I do not. I want to be respectful of your time. Otherwise, I'd have you guys on until 1 o'clock if you let me. But I want to be respectful of your time, Leroy. In closing, favorite Michigan State moment for you, either on the field or witnessing it.
It was a prediction for the game. It was actually after a loss. It was the most trouble I ever got in with Bo. So we played Michigan State. We lost like 17-11, and Demetrius Brown had 7 interceptions and 4 completions. So we're all sitting in the meeting room on Sunday. Everybody's, you know, like, man, tough break there, Demetrius, huh? Bo came, he put all this stuff down, and I knew it was coming. I knew something was coming, but he looked up and he said, Demetrius, in case you were wondering, we were wearing the white yesterday. Now, exactly. Jim, that's what I did. Unfortunately, I was the only one. So I'm looking around laughing. He goes, Hort, you think that's funny? And so I look around again, no support. I said, yes. And I look around and everybody's going, no. I didn't know how to answer it.
But he did that to every team every year. I'll never forget. Same thing. Then I got the Michigan State story if you want, but I'm sitting there and I'm playing with my senior year, right? And I step out to do something. Some guy takes an inside going, I whiff, okay? And he gets in and Reggie McKenzie gets a piece of him, but he's in the backfield. He makes a play. Bo stops a projector. We're all looking at full team, stops a projector, and he looks at me and he goes, did we actually give you a scholarship? Well, the entire team starts laughing just like you did. And he stops and he says, oh, you think you guys are any better? And he goes back in the tape and starts showing everybody's mistakes.
Right.
And it got the point across, but you did. You had to be careful when he said that. It was funny, but he'll take you on for it.
I was on that Bo Island. So that meant for that whole week, I had to play Michigan football at practice in the classroom, because I knew every time I went onto the football field, he'd give me that look. You know that look.
Of course.
Like, oh, you one of those guys. You're a little exactly. jokester.
Yeah, exactly.
Leroy, I get it. Go ahead, Jim.
No, Bo is a beauty, man. He had a way of getting his point across in a lot of different ways.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I understand the crickets in the room because it's a loss after a Michigan State and Bo's fiery temper, but you spoke your mind. You thought it was funny, and you didn't have any teammates behind you. You had
none. They all, well,
nobody protecting you at all.
I think everybody knew, right, the thing that Jim's team didn't know and that I didn't know, that although this was funny, he was being serious.
Yeah, exactly.
But I was like, wow. I'll tell you this, it never happened again.
Yeah, you learn quickly.
Yep.
That's a great story to end things on. Boy, the two of you are absolutely fantastic. For a fantastic Friday here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, you can see Leroy Horn at Big Mouth Leroy on Twitter. You could also hear him on 790 The Ticket in Miami. And, of course, Jim Brandstetter, without saying, is the voice of Michigan football. We'll have the call of the Michigan-Michigan State game just after noon on Saturday. Jim, Leroy, thank you again for joining us. And, Jim, have a great call.
Thank you, Stephen. Leroy, great to see you. You look great, man. Keep up the great work down there.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, be well. Stay safe.
All right. You too. All right. Hey, guys.
When we return, we'll have we'll hear from Matt Elliott, a teammate of Leroy Hordes back from the late 80s. He's got some interesting stories to tell. And I'm going to try to break down this 70-yard run by Charbonnet and how the offensive line did its job all the way to the receivers. And sometimes you just got to have everything work to make it happen. We'll have that when we come back right after this here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA.